We're going to continue today the series we've been talking about spiritual gifts. We stopped last time right in the middle of talking about the gift of prophecy. And as I began to prepare for this Sunday, for this teaching, I figured, well, we'll finish roaring through prophecy and we'll get on to discerning of spirits and speaking in tongues and things like that. I don't know how far we're going to get today, because the Lord really laid on my heart that we need to really understand this gift of prophecy. There's a lot of misunderstandings about it. There are a lot of problems associated with it. And as a matter of fact, in a lot of ways, I think the church has lost the office of the prophet, and it's time for that to come back. So let me start again by defining for you at least how I view prophecy, okay? Prophecy is a person speaking on behalf of God to another person or group. Now, it usually includes facts, it includes knowledge, wisdom, but this is not the same as the gift of word of knowledge or word of wisdom, because this is more about God speaking into a situation. It's not just God providing information. It's personal. It's direct from God to a group of folks, and it comes through someone else. Like, for instance, remember one time there was a lady in our church, and she was pregnant, and Debbie prophesied over her. It was a prophecy that said, you're going to have a little boy. And she already had a baby girl, and this, you know, prophecy actually came about just exactly the way Debbie said. Matter of fact, Debbie and I prophesied over lots of women that they're going to get pregnant, or and what's going to happen, and those sort of things. It's not uncommon. Sometimes prophecy works with other gifts, together with other gifts. One time my mother called. She had an issue of blood, as it were, and it was bleeding that wouldn't stop. And she asked me to pray for her. She was pretty worried about it. As I prayed for her over the phone, the Lord gave her a prophecy. And the Lord said, daughter, don't worry about this, because I will take care of it and I will heal you. Sure enough, he did. So the gift of healing was at work in that prayer, but also the gift of prophecy at the same time. It's not uncommon for those gifts to work together. So between last time and this time, I've told you several stories about prophecy. Now let's talk about some perspective on this gift of prophecy and some of the nuances that you need to understand. I have watched over the years as people seem to confuse prophecy with fortune telling. Okay, we know folks, they're always looking for a word from the prophet. Hey, oh, prophet so-and-so is going to be in town over at ABC Church this Friday. Come on, let's go over and hear what he's going to have to say to us. These people aren't looking for a prophet. They're looking for a fortune teller. And if the prophet that shows up is really a prophet of God, they often leave disappointed because, well, he didn't have a word for me this time. Maybe he's not really a prophet. Well, no, that's not how you judge whether or not he's a prophet. You know? Well, he didn't get specific enough. What? That's the way prophecy is. It's not ever going to get too specific because it's not fortune telling, okay? Well, all he did was encourage me, and I was waiting to hear about a sign whether I should sell my house or not. Well, they're looking for a fortune teller. That's human nature. We want to know what the future holds. We want to get some inside information so that we can make a better decision. We want to know what's happening, and we want to know when it's going to happen. It's not just good enough to know. What? You know, if you drive around the United States much and you don't take the interstates, you're going to drive through lots of towns like Shelby and places like that. Almost every town you drive through, you're going to pass at least one house that's advertising that they're a psychic or they're a palm reader or fortune teller or something. There are a lot of those folks, you know, that if you listen to late night TV, well, it seems like the airways are full of advertisements for psychics. Just call this 1-900 number. The first 2 minutes are free. And they will tell you everything you ever wanted to know about your life. Well, prophecy is not meant to fulfill this human need that we have to want to know the future, okay? You'll never get a prophecy, at least not one that really comes from God, that gives you all the details and specific timelines that you think you need. You'll never get next week's newspaper today, or if you do, it won't have the kind of specifics in it that you want. You won't understand what the prophecy means oftentimes until after it's fulfilled. God does that on purpose. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Another problem with prophecy is sometimes you get a prophecy and it's just wrong. I mean, there's no way it's from God, you know. Or you sit on it and you test it, and it just never is fulfilled. And when this happens, some people feel betrayed. They want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, you know. Well, don't prophesy over me. Folks have done that before, and it just doesn't work for me. And they get kind of jaded and cynical about it, and then they don't want any prophecy at all. Well, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. I want to read an interesting scripture to you here. 1 Thessalonians 5. You know, when the Bible tells you to be of courage, that doesn't mean you're about to go through something easy, right? And the Bible says, take courage, be strong. That means you're about to go through something really hard. Well, listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's start in verse 19. Paul says, do not quench the spirit. And then the next verse he says, do not despise prophetic utterances, or do not despise prophecies. Well, why would Paul have to tell people not to despise prophecy? If it weren't for the fact that maybe folks had come along and had given some prophecies and they weren't exactly right, or maybe they weren't exactly what people were looking for or wanted. And so it'd be easy to start saying, well, I don't like this. That guy wasn't a prophet. Maybe there are no prophets. Nobody can prophesy, and so we'll just throw it all out. You go down to verse 21, he says, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. In other words, Paul's saying, look, there's a high probability that there may be problems associated with prophecy. But don't give up on the gift of prophecy just because there are problems that come along with it. When the gift of prophecy operates through a human being, there is always a chance that that human being is going to get it wrong or is going to misunderstand or not do it right. One time I was in a meeting where we were several of us, we were a team of us, had gone to this place, and several of us were ministering, and there was a line of people that had lined up in front of each one of us, and so we were praying for them one at a time. And there were a couple of young ladies that were next in line for me to pray for. They were late teens, early 20s, that sort of thing. And they're friends, they knew each other. And so about the time I start to lay hands on this first one, the other girl, playfully, said, no, no, me first, and butts in line. Comes back up around the first girl. And so I pray over her, and I don't remember exactly which one I prophesied what over, but one of the prophecies was a prophecy from the Lord about going to college, and the other was a prophecy about getting married. And both of them, as I'm prophesying, they're going, huh, what? Well, the pastor of this church happened to be standing right there as I prayed for both of them. And when I finished praying for them, and they're both standing there like, what? He said, you got the prophecies reversed. He said, they should have stayed in line the way they were, because what you prophesied for the first one was for the one who had been first in line. And what you prophesied for the second one was for the one who had been second in line. See what I'm saying? In other words, I got it mixed up. Well, that kind of thing can happen. Don't despise it. Don't give up on it. Don't quit on it. When you receive a prophecy, you need to do two things. First of all, you need to hold on to it, and you need to test it to see if it's from God. Don't just blindly follow whatever somebody says. That's what Paul is saying here in verse 21. But examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. And the second thing is, you need to use the Old Testament principle of two or three witnesses. You know, in the Old Testament it says, you can't hold a charge against someone of doing something wrong unless there are at least two and preferably three witnesses. And so we do that with prophecies as well. And as a matter of fact, I think that the prophecy itself is probably supposed to be just one of the witnesses, because the other witness should be what you already are hearing God say to you anyway, or what you come to hear God say to you. So in other words, the prophecy should be in agreement with what you feel like you're hearing from God, so that those become two witnesses. And maybe the third witness might be circumstances, it might be another prophecy, it might be a word of knowledge or something like that. When I'm talking about testing like this, I'm talking about the person who has received the prophecy. They need to be testing this prophecy that they have received against the Word of God, against what they already know about, have heard from the Holy Spirit, that sort of thing. In other words, don't just blindly follow it. But you know what? When you get the same prophecy two or three times, you got to think, maybe God's trying to get my attention. We had a friend who was a nurse, and she was doing missionary work in Guatemala. She was in the United States for a while, And it was time for her to go back to Guatemala. She was anxious to get back. And a pastor said, well, look, I'm planning on flying down there. You can fly with me and the folks who go with me. And so that was her plan. Everywhere she went for about a month before that, everybody that saw her gave her a prophecy. Janie, the Lord says, don't go right now. Wait, go later. Don't go on this particular trip. Some folks even said, Dan's going to go in a month after it. Wait and go with Dan. No, she wouldn't do that. She died in a fiery plane crash because she wouldn't listen to the two or three witnesses to prophecies one after another. You know, if the prophecy appears now to be somehow a mistake, well, don't give up on spiritual gifts. Just recognize that that's the way it always is with anything that involves human beings, okay? We might get it wrong. I might say it wrong if I'm the prophet, or if you're the one receiving, you might hear it wrong or receive it wrong. Another issue with prophecy or nuance is that you shouldn't get discouraged when you give prophecies to people and they ignore them. You know, it's really from the Holy Spirit, and the person you give it to, it's up to them to either receive it or to reject it and ignore it. It's not your responsibility. It's not your problem. You got to leave it in the hands of God to deal with it. You've done your job. You let the Holy Spirit move through you. You're done now. I remember one time I prophesied to this pilot who was going to fly this nurse and other people down to Guatemala. And the Lord very clearly said to him, do not go this specific route. You need to go this other route. He wouldn't listen. So God was not only speaking to the nurse, don't go with this guy. The Lord was speaking to this guy, don't go this way. They ended up dying in a fiery plane crash, all of them. Well, I can't help that if they're not going to listen. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to show up where God tells me to and say what he tells me to do and then go on. Maybe pray for folks. This brings up another problem for the prophet himself, and that is that the Lord shows us something. We give it as a prophecy, and it's brief or it's cryptic or we don't know what it means, or the person you give it to doesn't seem to understand it. And, you know, immediately we kind of jump into the mode of, oh, okay, well, let me see if I can help you interpret this and help you understand what the Lord's trying to say. Or, well, I didn't understand it, so let me think and talk to you about what it might mean. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. If you're the prophet, don't ever offer an interpretation or an amplification to the prophecy. Deliver it exactly as you feel like the Lord gives it to you, and then shut up. If you don't understand it, who cares? It's not for you, okay? If they don't understand it, then they need to seek the Lord, and he'll reveal to them in due time whatever's going on. Remember, this is about relationship. God is not nearly as interested in us getting everything exactly right as he is in us having a relationship, a working, intimate relationship with him. And so sometimes he'll give us a prophecy like that that we don't understand. He's doing that on purpose. He's doing that so we will seek him. So we won't seek the prophet, but we will seek him. Say, Lord, you need to help me understand what it is you're trying to tell me here. Turn to Acts 21. Acts 21. I'll show you a scriptural example of what I'm talking about. When you give a prophecy, don't try to interpret it. Don't try to help someone receive the prophecy properly. Acts 21. We're going to start in verse 10. Paul is in Ptolemais, it looks like, just come from Tyre. And as we were staying there for some days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt, and he bound his own feet and hands and said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. That was the prophecy. See, it's coming from the Lord through Agabus to Paul. And when we heard this, we all, as well as the local residents, began begging Paul not to go to Jerusalem. This is a warning prophecy, Paul. This is to warn you away from what's going to happen, and so don't go. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, Paul said, this prophecy isn't a warning about what's going to happen to me. This prophecy to me is a confirmation about what God's already told me about what he wants to do, what's going to happen. So we've got to be careful. One last thing that the Lord wants you to understand about prophecy, and actually this is true for all spiritual gifts, and that's when a spiritual gift operates through you, you're the vessel, you're the extension cord that's transmitting the power. But you're not a mind-numb robot. You're not just the PA system through which things are transmitted, okay? When God uses you, he does it through you and everything that makes up you. This is how he's chosen to do it. You have a unique view in the world. You have a unique set of experiences that are yours. Nobody else is like you. And all this gives you a base of knowledge. And when any gift operates through you, it comes through you with your own unique flavor and taste, if you will. The gift passes through the lens of your life. And it's delivered with that flavor, with that influence that's all yours. And so a prophecy or a word of knowledge or a gift of faith operating through me is going to be different from that exact same prophecy or word or gift of faith operating through one of you. If a human is involved, it's impossible to eliminate that personal influence. And yet, God must understand that because this is how he prefers to do things. He'd rather operate through a flawed, broken human being than get the message exactly right in some kind of sterile, non-human thing. And so I think we could take two things from this. First of all, don't be a perfectionist, okay? Don't wait until you're perfect and can always get it right before you let God use you. God wants to operate through every one of his believers, and he wants to do it now. And if you don't get it right exactly every time, that's okay. He knows that that's part of the situation. He wants you to move and work. Let him work through you. But the other thing is, don't expect those who are ministering to you in spiritual gifts to be sterile or perfect themselves. They're not going to be. Again, this is back to this concept that Jesus seems to be much more interested about our relationships with each other and with him than he is about getting the information exactly right every time. Now, to us engineer types, that just doesn't seem right. Oh, no, he needs to write a book, needs to write it where you can read it in Hebrew in the stars or something, you know, where it's really clear and with no chance that it could be misinterpreted or missaid. No, he doesn't do it that way.
There are prophets that say it so that you're supposed to take that as gospel truth from the Lord.
Well, that's one of the problems I'm talking about, see, is that just because a prophet has told you something doesn't mean it's really a prophecy and it's really from God, because it's a human being that's doing it. Maybe he's right 90% of the time. Maybe he's right 95% of the time. Maybe he misses it sometimes. Human beings, that's what we're talking about here. You know, prophecy has several purposes. Of course, it's not ever fortune telling, remember, but prophecy is important for a well-balanced church. This is one of the important roles in the church, the prophet. And as a matter of fact, we should expect a prophetic view from our bishops, from our pastors. We should expect that to operate and flow in our church. Prophecies come into the church so they can warn us, so they can prepare us for what's coming up, so they can give us strategic direction in our lives, so that they can comfort us. Prophecies are there to confirm God's hand in something. I think we need to be praying for our pastors. We need to be praying for our pastors, the bishops, that they'll flow in this gift and they'll do it often and do it easily. Prophecy can be a foreshadow of what might be coming in the future. And a lot of times the Lord will reveal that to his pastors so we have an understanding of how to direct the sheep and how to guide and protect the sheep. But even though the Lord is trying to tell us, I want to give you an idea of what's coming, it's never intended to completely replace us hearing from the Holy Spirit or being led by the Holy Spirit ourselves. So prophecy can be to give us an idea of what's going to be happening in the world or the church around us. These are words that tell us, you know, that good times are coming, you need to be saving up, or like many of the prophecies now are that, hey, hard times are coming and you better get ready to really be trusting in God because it's going to get difficult. We often get these kind of prophecies so that we can prepare if possible, or if nothing else, so that we're not surprised when those things start happening. You know, bad things start happening and a lot of people are, oh, I'm not serving God anymore then if it's not easy. Hey, that's why the prophet told you this is coming. You need to understand that, you know, sometimes the prophecy is there just to let us know, hey, God's in this or God's still here. And he at least knows what's going on. God's forewarned us. He must be planning on helping us. Turn to Zechariah 9. I want to give you another example of an issue with prophecy. Now, Zechariah is like the next book to the last in the Old Testament. One of the biggest problems I've seen with prophecy is the timeline. This is where we get the most heartburn, the most difficulty in a word that we receive from the Lord is, what's the timeline of this? When is this going to happen? And the problem is that timeline is probably the least reliable part of any prophecy. No matter what you think you heard about the timeline, yes, this is going to happen in 2.5 months, you probably didn't hear that, or that prophet shouldn't have said that, because the times are just, they just never seem to fit. And I'll show you one of the issues with it. This happens a lot. You read this through Isaiah, throughout the Old Testament. You'll be reading a prophecy, and the prophecy will go from one time period to another without any kind of preface that that's what's happening. I'll give you an example out of Zechariah. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, in this Advent season, we're talking about one of Jesus' comings, his first coming to the earth. What is that verse about? It's about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, right? He comes in riding on a donkey. They're putting palms in front of him, shouting, here he is, you know, the great Messiah. And a few days later, of course, he's crucified. Now, listen to the next verse. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off. In other words, there won't be any war anymore. And he will speak peace to all the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And you know what? An Old Testament person in the time of Jesus who understood this and read this would have read verse 9. It says he's coming on a foal of a colt, and we're going to praise him as king, and he sees the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. They, woohoo! War is about to end, peace is going to come, and his dominion is going to be from shore to shore. This is great. No, not quite. There's a couple of thousand years at least between verse 9 and verse 10. And the guy that is writing this not only doesn't tell us that, the Lord may not have told him that. He may not know either. All he did was give this prophecy, and here he is talking about what's going to happen, and you have no idea what the real timeline is with that. If you will, I think this is one of the weaknesses of prophecy, but again, I think it's on purpose. Because God won't tell you an exact date in prophecy, because as soon as he does that, you're now relying on that prophet and on the word you got from that prophet. You're not relying on your personal relationship with him and being led and guided by the Holy Spirit yourself. God's not nearly as interested at you being on time as he is about you having a deep relationship with him. We've watched people stumble over this a lot of time. Moses stumbled over this. Moses is told, you're going to be the deliverer of Israel. And what does he do? He runs out and he kills an Egyptian right away. Okay, I'm going to get started on this, right? The Lord's going, whoa, you're going to be the deliverer, but not quite yet. It's 40 years away after he gets the word, before the Lord says, now it's time to do what I told you 40 years ago I wanted you to do. I've watched people over and over do this. A fellow had a prophecy about, the Lord is going to be moving you into full-time ministry. You're going to quit your job and go into full-time ministry. And I mean, that week he quit his job. And he and his wife nearly starved to death, because that wasn't the week that God wanted. You know, he was so excited. Woohoo, I can do it now. No, no, man. You may have to wait on the timing some. So anytime you get a prophecy, give lots of latitude and margin to whatever you think you hear about the timing, okay? Sometimes prophecy comes to give us kind of a broad direction or a broad strategic direction of how we're supposed to go. When I was, well, it was a long time ago, and I was thinking about where to go to college, and I really wanted to go to a Bible college. I knew the Lord had called me to serve him in a deep way and to minister to others. And I wanted to go to Bible college and learn, you know, become a pastor. And very clearly, the Lord gave me a prophecy. He said, the souls are at Texas A&M. That was the exact words of the prophecy. And I understood immediately what he meant. I don't want you going to Bible college. I want you going to Texas A&M. There are people there that you need to minister to and witness to. And that has been the kind of the course throughout my life. Wherever the Lord takes me, there are people there that need me. Well, he gave me a broad direction, but he didn't tell me what to major in. He didn't tell me when to start. He didn't tell me how I was going to pay for it. He just gave me the broad direction through that prophecy. Sometimes that's the way prophecy is. Sometimes prophecy gives us a warning. You know, we need to change something about our lives, like the pilot and the nurse. I also remember a time when Lord gave me a prophecy for someone. It was a teenage girl. And Lord told her, said, if you don't change the friends that you're with, in a year, you'll be pregnant. And in a year, she was pregnant. She didn't listen to that. It was a warning about what to do. And the Lord said, you need to change your friends and the way you live. And she didn't do that. So sometimes prophecy comes as a warning. Sometimes prophecy is just a confirmation for the leading of the Holy Spirit that we've already heard, as I said before. And really, I think this is one of the primary reasons for personal prophecy, is the prophecy that's given to us as an individual is as a confirmation of what we've already heard from the Holy Spirit, or it's something that we say, well, I don't know anything about that. I'm going to set that prophecy on the shelf. And then, sure enough, pretty soon we start hearing the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit and then begin to understand, oh, that's what that prophecy was for. Debbie and I have a single Word document file that we keep all prophecies in. We put a date on it and who it was from and what it was about, because you never know when you're going to want to go back and say, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. That was 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I remember we were pastoring a non-denominational church in Texas, and minister was there ministering and said, hey, I have a word for you, and read a scripture to me out of Psalms. And it was a scripture about, with clean hands, I will work around your altar, O Lord. And I didn't have any idea what that was talking about. That was probably in 1986 or 87. Well, we didn't discover the CEC till 10 years after that. Didn't think about becoming a priest in the CEC till after that. I mean, it was, you know, 20 years before, with clean hands and a holy heart, I'm working around the altar of the Lord. Well, it was 20 years later when I remember, oh, that's what that prophecy meant. Oh, yeah. Cool. So prophecy is confirmation. Okay, so now we've gone through, I'd like to say everything you ever wanted to know about prophecy, but we didn't. That's okay. It's enough. We won't continue on with prophecy next time. I promise we'll hear. What's the next in the list there? 1 Corinthians 12, distinguishing or discerning of spirits. That's where we'll pick up next time and maybe finish things off next time. But prophecy has, there's so many pitfalls in prophecy and so many difficulties. I hope that this was helpful for you.